When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are back right here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, we've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on the Fan. I was actually going to have producer Tommy join us as our guest today, but his Madden rating was not high enough. So instead, we are going to go with Ken Ingles, Packers salary cap expert. You can find him on Twitter at Ken Ingles. Ken, it is great to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Andy. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I don't know if you heard that or know what that reference is in regards to. There was just the article that came out this morning on The Athletic that the Jets did not trade for Jerry Jeudy because his Madden rating was not high enough. That was a Woody Johnson decision in the front office. So I know you and I like to dig into the minutia of the salary cap and look at deals Green Bay should potentially do. I don't know about you, but I'm just very glad Green Bay doesn't have an owner that when a good deal comes to fruition, they're not looking at Madden ratings to make that decision.
Yeah, I did not hear that this morning, and if you could see my face, I am just stunned that that is a real-life decision that happened in professional football. Wow.
It is ridiculous in all of the best ways in a very New York Jets sort of thing, but we don't have to cover the New York Jets, thankfully. We get to cover the Green Bay Packers, and Ken, I just want to start, you know, in a very simple way, but I always love kind of asking this question. We are... like what, 3 games left to go in the season. The Packers are sitting at 10-4. There were some definitely injuries that, you know, especially to Jordan Love, that kind of forced the things a little bit off course to start the season. But as you look at this team right now, 14 weeks in, 10-4, what is your evaluation of the 2024 Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, it's been a wild season, especially after that first week when you saw Jordan Love, you know, on the turf in Brazil looking in a lot of pain. You thought that maybe the season was going to be over right then and there, but they've been resilient. It's been a real pleasure to watch the season. You know, the team coming together, a lot of the young guys stepping up, but you know, it's just wild that you look at how well they've done, but the teams that they've lost to, right? There are 3 teams who are all kind of in the running still to be the number one seed in the NFC, and the Packers lost to all of them like 4 times. So, you know, they've had their shot to kind of be the top dog, but as it sits right now, they're kind of, you know, the way I look at it, they're kind of in that like next tier of like, okay, they're not the cream of the crop, but they're right there. And, you know, they're probably going to lock up a playoff berth this upcoming weekend. Up in Lambeau against the Saints, and then you know you get in and you see what you could do. I think it's going to be a real fun, you know, back end of the season here, and then see what they can do in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and hopefully they got those losses to the top teams out of their system now, so that hopefully they don't have to experience those losses come playoff time. At least that is my hope moving forward. One of the things that has obviously set the Packers up for success in 2024, and a huge reason that they are 10-4 at the moment, has been the Packers' 2024 offseason. You look at adding Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney and the impact that those two have had. Draft picks like Evan Williams, obviously what Edgerrin Cooper is doing right now, Javon Bullard, right before the start of the season, trading for a guy like Malik Willis, in season getting a kicker like Brandon McManus. How impactful has this Packers 2024 offseason and acquisitions been to the success of this team? And how has your like vision of what they did in the offseason changed as you've sort of seen them go through this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, you look at the guys that they brought in, right? And especially like on the defensive side of the ball, like Xavier McKinney is huge. I don't think it can be overstated just how much of an impact, you know, he's had. That was the one that all Packer fans were really kind of circling as like the ideal free agency target this offseason, right? In Halfley's system, like you need that guy. And I was very bullish on like, okay, I think the Packers need to make this move. And you've seen it's just paying dividends. He's an absolute difference maker for this team. Like, you know, Zane Anderson is not going to be making what the first six games of the season, five games of the season, pulling an interception every single game. So yeah, he's just been, it's been night and day. Like they completely retooled the safety position in just one offseason through free agency and the draft. It's been great. Josh Jacobs, again, what you can't say enough about the guy. Like, he touched the ball, 90% of the touches the first drive of the game last week, and you know he's been insane. It's wonderful to see what they were able to do. The draft class, of course, you know, Edgerrin Cooper, you know, you've been gushing about him. He's a real difference maker, and there's a lot of guys, you know, not quite to Edgerrin Cooper, but in the last two draft classes, who are young guys who are playing a lot of snaps, and they're only going to get better. You know, you look maybe a few draft classes back, you know, there are some weaker classes there. And, you know, these 2 years post Rodgers heading out to the Jets, Goody's done a really excellent job bringing in guys who are young, but can play early and develop and kind of, you know, have that on the job training. And we're seeing it paying dividends this season already. You know, they're the youngest team in the NFL last year. They're even younger this year, which is wild, and they're performing even better. So I'm really impressed with what they're able to do this offseason and what it can mean, you know, go down the stretch here and then into the playoffs and into next season as well.
Yeah, as you know, Ken, when you can get really young, cheap talent like they've done with Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, and those type of players and have them play really well right away and now have three years of team control on super cheap deals for those guys moving forward, it's going to pay huge dividends moving forward. It's why those draft picks are always so valuable. As always, though, every 4 years, those free agents come up. And as we start to look ahead to the Packers 2025 offseason and what free agents you have coming up, it's interesting that there's not sort of this go-to player to resign other than maybe Brandon McManus at this point. But you look at who's, you know, some free agents upcoming, TJ Slayton, Eric Stokes, as we mentioned, Brandon McManus. You can kind of go through the list. There's not a ton that Green Bay really has to prioritize at the moment. Josh Myers, of course, is another. As you look at the Packers upcoming 2025 free agents, is there anyone that you are prioritizing, or is this just, hey, if you get a good deal for one of these guys, take it? If not, just let them walk. Like, where do you stand on the Packers 2025 free agent list?
Yeah, it's really weird what they've got. I think 18 guys who are currently scheduled to be free agents. That might change, you know, as they do a little bit of roster moving in the last couple of weeks here. But yeah, I don't see anyone as that like must sign guy, right? There's no one that's like jumping off the page that, like, you know, when Jair was, you know, upcoming to be a free agent, that was like, okay, obviously they're going to get that deal done. That's the number one priority of the offseason. They don't really have that guy. In fact, I look at their list, their exclusive rights guys, the guys that if they want to return, they will return because the Packers have sole negotiating rights with them. There's five guys: Aaron Mosley, Bo Melton, Daniel Whalen, Emmanuel Wilson, and Kadeem Telford. I think those guys are the obvious choices to come back, and they're the ones that if the Packers want to pull the trigger, they're going to be back, and they're going to be back on the cheapest deals possible. You know, like you said, McManus, yeah, he's probably the priority of the unrestricted guys. But other than that, I don't see any of that like first wave of free agency type of player that's going to be getting, you know, making crazy money or crazy deals. You know, these all look like the second, third wave, like summer signing guys. I think McDuffie might be a guy that might go elsewhere and get paid a decent amount of money, and the Packers are going to be kind of unwilling to pay him just based off of, like, you know, we've all seen, and he's been kind of, you know, spotlighted the past couple of weeks in, like, pass protection specifically, like, what they're asked to do at the linebacker position. He just might not be the guy that Green Bay needs, but he might be a fantastic fit elsewhere across the league. I could see him doing well maybe outside of Green Bay. But, you know, we saw this last year. coming into the 2024 season. There weren't a lot of big names really either, but you know, they re-signed a Ballantyne, they re-signed an Eric Wilson, they re-signed a lot of these kind of, you know, minimum veteran minimum plus type deals with maybe a little bit of signing bonus, maybe a little bit of roster bonus type of thing. And maybe some of these guys will be back, but you know, there's no one that's really banging down the door that says, okay, they need to get this guy in to be consistent. There's going to be a lot of turnover with these guys, and it's going to be an opportunity, I think, for them to be able to play around in free agency or find some, you know, new talent in the draft.
Yeah, which I think is always exciting. I think there has the ability to actually be some upgrades there. Brandon McManus, I'm semi-intrigued by TJ Slayton. I think that's going to be a market-driven decision where if some team's willing to pay him as a legitimate, like, really good starting defensive tackle, I think Green Bay probably says that we're good. But if they can get him back, he has actually been a pretty impressive piece in their run defense. But you're also talking about somebody who's not even really playing, like, 15 snaps a game either. So it's going to be some really interesting decisions there. And I think, again, most of them are going to be monetary decisions based on what those guys can get on the open market. Again, we're being joined right now by Ken Ingles, Packers salary cap expert. You can find him on Twitter at Ken Ingles. Two big decisions, at least what could be big decisions, Ken, that aren't necessarily free agent decisions, but they have contract decisions to an extent coming up with Jaire Alexander and Keyshawn Nixon. I believe there's a roster bonus early in March for Keyshawn Nixon. And then, of course, Jaire Alexander just making that decision of, hey, do we want to continue with this? Or based on all the time that he's missed over the last 4 years, do we want to save some salary cap space and maybe start remaking that corner position? Tell us a little bit about the decisions that they have on Jaire Alexander and Keyshawn Nixon.
Yeah, Jaire really comes down to his health, right? And, you know, he played seven games in 2023. He's played so far seven games in 2024, but he's looking like to get healthy again here down the stretch, hopefully. But we thought that, you know, maybe the past couple of weeks too. So hopefully things are trending there. Really what it comes down to, it's not like a salary cap decision or like, do they need the space type of decision. It's more of, it's a cash decision. Like, he's due $17.5 million, and the Packers need to look in the mirror and be like, are we willing to, you know, it's almost a gamble at this point. Are we willing to gamble $17.5 million that Jaire can be available for this team? And, you know, if the answer is yes, I think he'll be around. I don't think they're going to, you know, maybe they do some sort of, you know, moving some more money into like at risk or per game, but he already has $500,000, I think, already of that, if not more. I have a feeling he'll be around. I definitely think Nixon's going to be around just because, you know, again, you go to that cash decision. He's due to make $4.6 million. Like, and if they view him as a starting three corner, whether it be in the slot or on the outside, you know, $4.6 million is not a lot of money to be paying. And they love this guy. You know, you hear about, you know, everyone in the locker room just loves the energy that he brings and the leadership. You know, he obviously has the return opportunities, but those haven't really been there. You know, maybe further into December and January when the kicks don't go as far, maybe we'll see more, you know, of his ability and playmaking ability there. But with Nixon, he does have an interesting, you know, he's got a $2.8 million roster bonus at the third day of the league year. The decision will be made by then, because if that gets paid, like, the rest of the money on the deal is, you know, a small base salary and some, you know, workout bonuses, whatever. Like, they'll, like, he'll be around if that bonus gets paid. Now, if he's released or if they do a restructure or something before then, you know, there's more options. But that's really the big trigger with Keyshawn is, you know, well, it'll be like March 20th or something like that, depending on when the calendar flips. That if they pay that bonus, he's going to be around. He's going to be on the Packers. Not going to pay that and trade him away, because the majority of that money is just that bonus. So I have a feeling both these guys are going to be here. If for nothing else, like, there's like a body issue at the cornerback position next year. When you look at like what the roster needs are, you know, cornerback and linebacker are the two that really just, they don't have a lot of guys like in waiting in the wings who can step up. So I have a feeling Nixon will be here. Jaire's, you know, he's closer to that 50-50 for me, but if I had to say right now, I think he could be here. But again, they can wait on him. There's no urgency. Like, Jaire could really be the 2025 version of, like, Aaron Jones, right, where they weren't necessarily looking for Josh Jacobs, but then Josh Jacobs was available, and then they're like, maybe we like this guy more. And maybe they do one of those situations where it's a thank you for your service type of thing. You haven't been able to be on the field as much, and we're going to go with this, you know, other guy, and maybe that's what they do with Chaire.
Ken, you took almost the words exactly out of my mouth. I think Keyshawn Nixon's back. I think that one's going to end up being a no-brainer for them. And I think I almost like was to say about to say to a T, I think Jair's more of that coin flip 50-50 where it could go in either direction. And if something does come to fruition where they can maybe upgrade that spot or just look at somebody that they think can be a little bit more reliably on the field, then they could go in that direction. Do you think, is there any world in which they would restructure Jair and push things out? Or do you think if he's back, he just stays on the contract that he's on?
Well, that's a good question. Restructure for the cap, for the sake of salary cap purposes, I'm hoping that they're kind of behind that. You know,
agreed.
Look at this last year. He only did one of those as Rashawn Gary. They, you know, and then as soon as they found out that the salary cap was going to go up a lot more than everyone kind of thought across the league, they stopped. I don't think Jair, like, maybe they do. I don't know if they'd ask for a pick. Jair doesn't seem like the type of personality, you know, right off the cuff to be open to a pay cut type of deal or a restructure or replacing with like incentives or throwing more into per game. Maybe like that's definitely on the table. I'm sure that if they're going down the path of we need to move on, I'm sure they're going to take a detour into let's talk maybe renegotiate a contract first. I don't think they'd go straight into, okay, you're no longer on this football team. I think that conversation comes up, but yeah, I think once they start going down that path, I have a feeling that it would be that they would be parting ways. But, you know, there's a lot that's going to be unknown in the offseason with health and, you know, health and how the conversations go with the team and whatnot. So that's definitely the one to watch. But we don't have a drop dead deadline on this deal either. They could go all the way up through training camp and move on and, you know, not really be out any money on this more than what they would be with other guys in the past had they these decisions linger into the training camp and beyond.
Yeah, it's a great thing to think about. Again, we're being joined by Ken Ingles, Packer salary cap expert. Find him on Twitter at Ken Ingles. A couple of last questions for you, Ken, before we get you out of here. I think the big thing that everyone wants to know is what can we expect from Green Bay from a spending standpoint in this offseason? Is this going to be one where they mostly stand pat? Is this going to be one where they look to save money? Or is this going to be one where they actually maybe have some money to go out and spend? And if so, are we looking at a, you know, Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney offseason? Are we looking at a Za'Darius Smith, Amos, Preston Smith, Billy Turner? Or are we looking more like a Christian Kirksey type offseason? Like, what's the expectations here of what they might be able to go out and spend?
I think the Packers are going to be big players in free agency for a few reasons. One, we already talked about it. They don't have any premium pending free agents that they need to, you know, keep in house and retain. So that money that normally would be going to re-signing your draft picks who are now free agents, that really doesn't exist. I think a lot of those guys are going to be shown the door, and if they do come back, they're going to come back cheaply. So they're not going to be spending there. They actually have the ability to spend this year. You know, it's been a few years since I've been able to say that, like 2020, where the Packers actually had money that they'll be able to spend in free agency. When I look at where the salary cap ties, you know, all shakes out, all things considered, I have them at about $25 million of cap space that they can easily spend. You can create another $50 million easily on restructures. So they can find any free agent that's available, like, multiple times over. And they also, they should, I think, spend the money because the way I look at it, 2025 to 2026 and into 2027, so the next 2 or 3 years, is the real like financial window that the Packers can really exploit. They have Jordan Love locked up. He's on his first big contract. Those are the years where he's going to be relatively cheap. And then once we get past 2027, then the deal is going to start compounding on top of itself. You know, we can talk about that down the road, but they have a real window where they can be really competitive and have a big advantage over the rest of the league with, you know, how cheap he's playing, even though he's the highest paid player in the league. I think that they can go out and they can make a huge splash. Like I said, they have about $25 million like on paper today, free and clear, that they can easily spend on free agency. That's after the practice squad and the draft and everything, right? Like, this is their extra savings that they can go out. Like, you look at that $25 million, you go back to the Smith, Turner, and Amos, that was 20. $2 million just a few years ago. So just with inflation, you're about like they could easily do that. You know, and you look too like at what this team is like. You know, I know we don't have Aaron Rodgers on the books, and we think we're kind of past that cap trouble that, you know, maybe we thought last year. This is kind of year two of that. Next year, I think they're out of that. Like, they've got guys like David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones, Evandre Campbell. Like, these guys, like, David Bakhtiari and Yosh Nijman count for more on the Packers salary cap this year than their entire starting offensive line. Aaron Jones counts for well more than the entire running back roster. Same thing with Devondre Campbell with the linebackers. And Nadir McKinney's cheap. You know, Savage and Douglas count more on the roster as defensive backs than Xavier McKinney does. Like, imagine having another Xavier McKinney on this roster today. Having another Josh Jacobs type of signing on this roster today. So that's what they can really do next year, where they're going to have a lot more financial freedom. And I think it's going to be really fun and interesting to see what they do. Another aspect I forgot, too, is, like, we're used to the Packers having, like, a boatload of draft picks, especially in the top 100 after the Rodgers trade, after the Davante Adams trade. This is going to be a year where it's going to be more kind of a boring, like, the Packers have, you know, eight picks in seven rounds with two sevens, right? It's not going to be they've got all these premium assets. So, again, if they're looking to upgrade and kind of go for it these next couple of years, they're going to have to do that probably with some spending and not necessarily relying on those like early premium draft picks because they just simply won't exist.
Yeah, I think the thing that's so exciting about this, Ken, is kind of everything that we talked about today, right? Is number one, there's no one that they're really at risk of losing outside of, again, maybe a Brandon McManus that you're like really like, oh my goodness, how are they gonna you know get over this? And really to the extent of like they could take the entire roster that's under contract right now and again, just maybe bring back Brandon McManus and you basically have a fully functional 2025 roster as is right now, just with guys that are under contract moving forward, that is going to be super competitive. And then on top of that, you have a bunch of money that you can go and spend if you want to add a premium player or two to this roster in addition to that. And then, you know, Goody's going to do his thing with his eight draft picks, regardless of where they are in the draft, to be able to upgrade that roster as well. You basically take the roster as is, take eight more draft picks and some money to spend that could really upgrade this team and just think where this team could be a year from now. And it's really exciting to think about. Ken, you're the absolute best. Thank you so much for doing this on our way out. Anything that you're working on, anything you want to plug on the way out?
No, nothing I'm working on. You know, you can find me on Twitter, on X, hanging out at Ken Ingles. You know, any random thought that comes through my brain, I'm putting out there. Always talking about the Packers, the cap, and kind of where things are going. But nothing too special.
Well, we appreciate you a ton. Your work, especially in the offseason, is completely invaluable for all the insights that you provide from a salary cap standpoint and obviously your Packers knowledge in and of itself. So again, go follow him on Twitter at Ken Ingles. We'll definitely do this again, I'm sure, at some point in the offseason, Ken, to kind of catch up on everything. Enjoy the rest of your day. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone. So get those phone calls and texts into the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line, 414-677-1250. It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.